It was proclaimed as an atheistic nation. It was completely closed. It was even worse than China. In fact, they broke with China when China started to loosen up. And still, you know, they had only with some small countries relationship like Holland. And so some two young men came, you know, missionaries came to that country. They came to the border. He said, "We wanted to come to preach the Bible in your country." "Preach the Bible? Do you believe in the Bible?" "We sure do believe." "Okay." He called him in there, you know, to the office. He had a Bible there. All right. He turned to Mark chapter 16, where it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. Among others, they shall take up serpents, and if they bring any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. Do you believe that? Well, it said. Okay. Here is a cup that has poison. Took a piece of bread and just dunked in there and threw it to a dog, and the dog just licked it and fell right over. Okay. If you drink this, if you said you believe the Bible and you drink this, we will let you in to preach. What would you do? That's a real test on your faith, huh? Well, they said, "Give us a couple of days to think it over." And one of them said, "God," but the other one said, "Well, I'm not tempting God, but I want so much that the gospel, you know." And he came back, of course, quite a few people gathered there to see what happens. And he took that poisonous thing there, drained it, and he drank it up. And of course, everybody waited right away that he would turn over and die. And of course, as soon as he drank, he started preaching. You know, whether he lives 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, so he started to preach, you know. And they waited, you know, 10 minutes, no problem. Half an hour, he still didn't die. 1 hour. And then after 1 hour, they threw him out just the same, you know. But you see how the Lord protected him. But he probably even so, you know. But now it's different, you know. Thank God over there, it is now in Albania, and we have some churches, and we thank God. As I said the other night, you know, God has opened so many doors. Russia was closed. Albania was closed. Mongolia was closed. Other countries, you know, like China, were closed. Now all these doors are open. Tonight I'm going to preach the message. It would be here, especially the young people. Come on, get working. Invite young people to come with you, because I really, really challenge you tomorrow night. So make sure you... All right, also... you pray for these people in Kosovo. I told you the other night that I got a message that 15 young people, ministers of the gospel, have been lost in Kosovo. They don't know what happened to them. Ministers, evangelical ministers of the gospel, pray for them. We need to intercede for them. I pray so much every day, oh Lord, let this situation break them and bring them to you. Hallelujah. Just please, throwing you out of the house, leaving everything, and then sleeping there in the mud, and family scattered. That's why many of those, they don't want to leave there, you know, they want to bring them other countries together. You have children. Supposing you would be separated from where your children are. It's terrible. I don't know. I remember during the Second World War, I was separated. My brother and myself, the rest of Russians came through there, communism came through there, and for 2 years I did not know they were still living or dying. It's terrible. Terrible what they're going through. But I pray, oh God, let this situation somehow break them. They will you and get them saved. And help their preaching the gospel among them to be saved. Praise the Lord. But, I have guests here too. I'm going to take my role. instrument. I hope you didn't get tired of it. All right. Play tonight. How about that wonderful hymn? How great thou art. We have this in all the languages. You know, that's what it shows, what is a real song, hymn. If you love that it's translated in all the languages, we have it in Hungarian. Nagy Istenem, ha nézem a világot, melyet teremtett szent legyen szavad. I could sing it for you in Hungarian or Romanian. O Domne Mare, this is Romanian. O Domne Mare, Contriveschio Lumia. That's in Romanian, you see. They have it all in all of these languages. In Yugoslavian, they sing it there. But since I don't have a good voice, I have to ask my little harmonica to help me out. This is a little missionary too, you know. This travels with me every place I go. And it's not only, it's very handy, it's not because it's so small, but play in every language. When I'm in Romania, I play in Romanian. When I'm in Hungary, I play in Hungarian. Tonight I'm going to play in English. How great thou art. These old hymns, beautiful hymns. I love them. How great thou art. Praise the Lord. Now, tomorrow night is my last night here. These few days by so fast, and I almost said that I have to leave. I hope this pastor will invite me to come back. If not, I will come anyhow. Yes, I really fell in love with your people, Pastor. You got wonderful people here, and I really enjoyed ministering to you. Now, last night I preached to you from the New Testament. Tonight we go to the Old Testament, and tomorrow night again to the New Testament. Will you turn with me to the book of Psalms? And let's read from chapter 107. 107 verses 19 and 22. Man, you got trained. Wonderful. I like that. Some people, I am there a whole week and they still don't get trained. They have to be told to stand up and we read the Word of God. You read in the book of Ezra, when Ezra got up to read the Word of God, everybody stood up. Psalm 107 verses 19 to 22. Then they cry unto the Lord in their troubles. That's what happens always. And he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Amen. Let's pray. Father, how we praise you once again. Lord, my precious word, you did not leave us in spiritual darkness, but gave us your blessed word. Oh God, how I pray that you would anoint these words tonight, O Lord. Thy servant at our hearts, let thy word come forth with power, anointed by the Holy Ghost. No sniff of the word, but me, hallelujah, from Jesus the Christ, Lord. Our hearts, O Lord, every need that is presented here in Jesus' name. And help us, O Lord, to sit at the feet of Jesus again and drink in the word of God. Hallelujah. Right now, we would remember again those dear country's world, O God, thy make it wait, O make us seas. Men can only stop. They don't know how to make them seas, but oh, you know, Lord, because you are the Prince of Peace, and we do have peace, and but help us to have compassion, O Lord, toward those who are in such a need. Jesus, hallelujah, bless us together tonight in the lovely name of Jesus we pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Some sacrifice with boasting. They do sacrifice, but they want everybody to know about it. Others are sacrificing with complaining. They sacrifice, but they always murmur and complain about it. Now, this is not pleasing to God. God wants you to know that it's a privilege to sacrifice to him. Amen? It's a privilege. Sacrifice and thanksgiving. Both words of the same verse. Different concept. Why does the Bible bind the two together? Because it's sacrifice that proves the validity or reality of to God. You know, God is not impressed with our worship, our singing, our praying. Don't do it, but he's not. He is impressed with sacrifice. It's sacrifice. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 50 and verse 23, in the Bible puts it this way, but, let me read it. But he said, but true worship, but true praise is a worthy sacrifice. Nothing praises the Lord more than sacrifice. Easy to say, I love you, Lord. Anybody can say that. But when you say, God, I love you, he says, prove it, prove it. And it's sacrifice that proves that you really love him. You may have heard about a young man who was confessing his love to his girlfriend. Honey, I love you so much. I would be willing to climb the highest mountain for you. I love you so much, I would be willing to swim across the ocean for you. And the next day, he called her up. I'm sorry, I can't come over because it's raining. You see, it's what you do. Amen? Don't say how much you love the Lord. Prove it through your sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Sacrifice you something. If it doesn't cost you, it's not a sacrifice. You know, the spring has sprung, and what the ladies do, they clean their closet and all the clothes that they cannot use, all the clothes that they have outgrown. An army is sent to the mission field. Now, that may be a good deed, but surely it's not a sacrifice. There are who are giving from their abundance to the Lord. That may be a giving, but not a sacrifice. And when you pay your tithe, giving anything, that came in the first. In fact, if you don't give it to him, you not. And you may be sure that old robbers learn. Watch out. I am preaching you the truth. It's not Brother Goody's telling what the Bible says. This is what God says. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse.
for ye have robbed me even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. Why don't we dare to prove God? Prove me. So many people, Christians, say, I love the Lord and I don't. If you don't pay your tithe, you don't trust the Lord. You don't trust the Lord. Many years ago, when I was teaching the adult class in my home church, Connecticut, and we came to the teaching of tithing, and I challenged them. I said, listen, I want you to prove God just 1 month. Pay your tithe. Your tithes, 1/10 of your income, pay just 1 month regularly. And if God doesn't bring it or give it back to you above your regular what you earn, regular earning, then I give it back to you. I have the money in the bank. I will pay it back for you. I am so sure that God is not going to be a debtor to anyone. Amen. I proved it many times. Prove ye me. Why don't you prove God? You know, when I was time to my mission field in 1960, I had nothing. I had to take a loan from the bank for my airfare to be able to fly over there. Nothing. And when I came back, I didn't have a dime when I arrived to New York. And you know, now, after, you know, I remember I came back and I was in one church, Manchester, Connecticut. I presented the burden of my heart, and I said, as soon as I can save up enough money to go back, I will go back again to Romania. And here, after the service, a dear lady came to me, an elderly lady. I never seen her. She never seen me before. She said, Brother Gurius, would you go back there to Romania if you would have the money? I said, I sure would. She says, how much money would you need? I said, I would need about $1,000 to go and stay at least 2 months. She says, I give you the $1,000, a complete stranger. Now, you wouldn't do that unless God speaks. And some of you, even then, you wouldn't do it. But she did it. In fact, she did it again and again. In fact, in 38 years that I know her, because that was in 61, in 38 years that I know her, she gave me, and a poor widow, she gave me altogether over $52,000. She trusted God, you see. She trusted God. I made my principle right from the beginning that I never beg for money. I don't have to, because God makes up. You know, when I had an open heart surgery, by the way, I had an open heart surgery since I seen you folks 6 years ago, and for 3 months I was not able to go and minister, and here I get a letter from a dear sister from Seattle, Washington. And she spoke to me, take out $10,000 from your savings and send it to Brother Gurius. And she did. Lord, that's my savings. Put up. Send it. And she did. I get a check for $10,000. Why do I mention that? Just a few weeks ago, she called me up again. She said, Brother Gurius, get ready. I'm going to send you another $10,000. You know, I'm going to write a book. I want to write a book, you know, on how to get rich the right way. Now, I started out with nothing. And now in these 38 years, I spent $1,300,000. You see how God has provided. And I never begged for money any place. God has provided. Hallelujah. I came home last October from my mission field, and I usually leave the basket there for the wash clothes for the landlady to put all my mail in there, and I came back, and among all the letters I found one envelope. There was nothing written in there, but there was a check for $5,000 from somebody that I never met. I was so surprised. It's good that that person had the telephone number on the check, so I called him. I said, I'm surprised. You don't know me. How come you send $5,000? Yes, he says, and in 3 weeks later, I will send you another $4,000. And he did. You see how when, but you know what God has done when he has called me? The first thing he did, he killed in me all desire for material things. I could have a beautiful house, nicer than yours. I could have a nice big car, but I don't desire it. I'm alone, I don't need it. I don't desire it. But I want to help the work of God. And as I mentioned the other night, we have helped to build or buy 165 churches in Eastern Europe. Hallelujah. You know, I have the greatest pleasure when we dedicate another church to the Lord. That's my joy and pleasure. But I change my subject now, forgive me. And before these people stone me, I better get on with a different subject. But cry, prove God. Some Christians crying to me, we are so poor, or we cannot give because we are so poor. I said, that's the reason you are poor. Listen, there is no foolish farmer who expects to reap if he did not sow. You see? Sowing comes first. Jesus did not say that you are going to get and then you give. He said, give and then it shall be given unto you. I kept sowing and sowing and sowing, and now I'm reaping. You know what happens? I can get rid of my money. That's right. The more I give, the more it's coming back to me. You try it, brother. You try it. Every year I take about $50,000 over there, this year again. The Lord doesn't remain a debtor to anyone. You try. Now, your tithe is not. You have not given anything to the Lord. And if you don't give it, remember, the curse of God is going to come. That's what the Bible says here. I would not dare not to tithe. I would not dare. Now, I don't think your people will call me back again, Pastor. You will? Okay. Okay. Sacrifice is more than giving. Sacrifice is when you give your least and the best unto the Lord. I witnessed to a businessman in Connecticut, and he got saved, and he's a wonderful man of God, and he told me something I never forgot. He said, God doesn't look upon how much you give. God looks upon how much is left to you. There's always more left to you than what you gave away. You can see whom you love more. I was in a church preaching there, and one man came to me and said, Brother Julius, would you pray for me? I said, what's your problem? He says, you know, I am playing the lotto. Would you pray that I would win $1,000,000? I would give half of it to the Lord. I said, forget it. Even if you win $1,000,000 and give all to the Lord, God would be not interested in that at all. You know why? Because you would not give your own money for which you work. You would give money that somebody else lost. This is why I seem to have the lotto money. I get so much mail just like you do, you know. You can win $1,000,000, you can win 10 million. I throw them all away. I don't care. I don't want that kind of money. That's what I do. On the other hand, I was in London, in New Hampshire, there, and after the service, one brother came to the pastor. He says, I'm not going to come to this church anymore. He says, why? He says, every time a missionary comes, I go home broke. You know what he did? He took his wallet and put it. That was a sacrifice. We were having a water baptism in Romania. My brother left his wallet in his pocket. And somebody said, Brother, you forgot your wallet. He said, no, I didn't forget it. That wallet must be baptized too. Hallelujah. One time Jesus was, let's see what the Bible says about sacrifice. Jesus was in the temple, and the offering was taken. It's interesting. Jesus was watching how much it was put in there. If the pastor would do that, you know, none of his business. But Jesus was watching. And he wasn't impressed at all. It says that the rich men were casting in from their riches, you know, into the offering basket. Jesus wasn't impressed at all. But here came a poor widow and put in just two pennies. And Jesus was so impressed right away, he said to the to the disciples. Do you see that poor widow? She put in more than all the rest put together. But Lord, it's just 2 pennies. Yes, but that was all her living. She's supposed to live 2 days on those 2 pennies. She put in everything, all her living. It was a sacrifice. Jesus is impressed with a sacrifice. Amen? A sacrifice.
In the Old Testament, David committed a great sin by numbering the people. And now God was penalizing David, actually the people, 70,000 of the people of Israel died. And then God opened the spiritual eyes of David and he could see the death angel standing over Jerusalem with the drawn sword ready to destroy the population. And the heart of David was pricked with conviction. Lord, I have sinned. Punish me and my father's house. What did this poor sheep do? And then God told him to go to a certain place and bring a sacrifice. God could be reconciled only with a sacrifice. And when David went to that place, he said to the owner, I want to buy this plot of land because I want to bring a sacrifice to the Lord. And the owner said, no, you don't have to buy it. I give it to you. Plus, I give you wood for the sacrifice. I give you cattle for the sacrifice, everything. David says, no such thing. I will buy from you at the price. I will not offer unto the Lord my God of that which cost me nothing. It's no wonder God said about David, I found a man pleasing to my own heart. David was pleased to bring a sacrifice unto God. Let's go back to the New Testament. And here we find a woman, a sinful woman. She had quite a reputation, prostitute. But then one day Jesus met her and forgave all her sins. And she was so filled with gratitude. She didn't know how to show to the Lord how much she loves him. You know what she did? She saved the whole year's wages, 300 pennies, and bought a beautiful alabaster box, and then bought the costliest ointment. She didn't buy that ointment on sale. She got the best one. I was in Yugoslavia. I helped to establish a church there, and we were building a Sunday school room. So I went with the treasurer of the church to buy some lumber, and that treasurer was tight-fisted. Not only with his own money, but with the money of the church. And as we were choosing lumber, brother, let's buy this burgers. Let's buy this. This is cheaper. Let's buy this. This is cheaper. Finally, I got tired of his cheapness. I said, brother, for the Lord, we are going to get the best. Buy yourself the cheap stuff. I believe in the economy when it comes to myself, but when it comes to the Lord, listen to me. God did not give a cheap stuff of heaven. He gave the best of heaven. Amen. He deserves the best. Can you say amen? Oh, that was a weak amen. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. He deserves our best. And so, then she bought that expensive ointment. She went to find the master. And then she found her, as I said the other night, she was so brokenhearted, first of all, she washed the feet of Jesus with her tears. And as I said the other night, I wonder if we would have enough tears to wash the feet of Jesus. You see how brokenhearted she was. And then she broke the alabaster box. And sometimes I wonder, why did she break it? She could have saved at least the alabaster box. That must have cost something. No, she didn't want to save anything for herself. Everything for Jesus. Anointing the feet of Jesus. You know the reaction. There were reactionaries in those days too. Why was this waste? We could have sold this ointment for 300 pennies, 300 men's, 300 days' wages of a man, and given to the poor, and Jesus leave her alone. She had done what she could. I wonder if Jesus would stand here where I stand. Look at you, and could he say and point his finger at you, he has done what he could. She had done what she could. And then Jesus said, wherever this gospel is preached, whatever this woman has done, this sacrifice will be preached. 2,000 years, it's still mentioned to her memory, the sacrifice she has brought. Sacrifice. Now when we speak about sacrifice, you know who comes to our mind from the Bible? Abraham. What a sacrifice he has brought. You know, Abraham was a rich man. He had thousands of cattle. He had hundreds of servants. He would have given them all to the Lord, but God did not ask for them. He had only one son. And God asked for that one son to offer up as a burnt sacrifice. That means that after kills, you know, burn it up completely. Burnt sacrifice. Oh, what a... You know, Abraham was 100 years old when he got that boy. Sarah was 90, his wife 90 years old. And now Isaac, the son, must have been around 10, 12 years old. It was dear to the heart. I don't believe that Abraham told his wife Sarah about what God was asking of him, because Sarah would have never allowed that boy to be sacrificed. He just said, I and the boy, we go and sacrifice to the Lord and come back. And they walked 3 days to get to that place, Mount Moriah. And then they go up the mountain. They prepare the altar. They put the wood on it. And then the boy speaks up, Father, here is the altar, the wood is there, where is the lamb for the sacrifice? I think that was like a knife in the heart of Abraham. He thought just a few more moments and he's going to be a lamb. But he said with confidence, Son, God will provide himself a lamb for sacrifice. You read that chapter when you go home. Don't read now, but when you go home, I don't even tell you which chapter. And God mentions 3 times your son, your only son. Why it's emphasized so much? Because you know why? Because God knew the time will come. He has to offer up his son, his only son. And Abraham was ready. He tied the hands and feet of Isaac, his son, put him on the altar. And it's amazing how God waits to the last moment. I mentioned in one message, and I will tell you tonight, and you better mark it down, God is never in a hurry, but he never comes too late. He waited until Abraham lifted up the knife to slay his own son. And then the angels wake up, Abraham, wait, wait, now I know. Abraham didn't just say, I love them. He proved it by willing to sacrifice his own. I know, don't you kill your son. And Abraham, I will bless you as the stars of heaven. So many sons and daughters you will have as the stars of heaven and the sand of the earth. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his only son. That's when we would find out what kind you are. If God would ask you anything of that, you know, to offer up to the Lord, what the closest to your heart. Now the question is, do we have Christians today who are willing to sacrifice? Thank God, in every church. No church would exist without sacrifice. Sacrifice is no spiritual success. In my hometown in Romania, I call it a town, but it's a city of 320,000 people. When the church was built, I had 4 sisters there and a brother. One of my sisters, a poor widow. When the appeal was made, you know, to sacrifice for the building of the church, my sister went home, got down on her knees. Lord, I would love to give for the building of your house, but I don't have anything. What shall I do? You know what she did? She took her only winter coat that she had, sold it, and walked all winter long. How many coats you have? Walked all winter long, and the winter is worse there in Romania than here. It's like New England. It's very cold winter. She walked all winter long to the church, 2 miles to the church, 2 miles back again, without a winter. That's sacrifice. That sacrifice. In Bucharest, the capital of Romania, when the church was built, one dear brother, he had no money, but he had children. He had 12 children. No money. You know what he did? He went to the bank and took a loan of $1,000 and gave it to the church. Now listen to me. When you want something for yourself, you want improvement on your house, or you want a new car and you have no money, you know where to go to get money. But if God needs money, will you be willing to do the same thing? Come on. That's when we find out how much you love God. Where the sheep is so easy to say, I love you, Lord, when you have to prove it. That's why God is not impressed. He's impressed with sacrifice when you have to prove it. I was preaching in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and about 3 weeks later I got a letter. Here is a poor letter. From a nine-year-old boy. This was his: Dear Brother Gullius, I sold my bike and I am a nine-year-old boy. After your service, I got touched by the Lord. I want to give you all the $30 I got for the bike for your missionary work. And there was a check for $30 from a nine-year-old boy. You see, guys. I was in preaching in Silver Springs, Maryland. One sister came to me with a check of $200. She said to me, Brother Gullius, I saved up these $200 to buy a new washing machine. The old one was falling apart. But she said, I hated to give out $200 for a new washing machine. So I started praying. I said, Lord, you can heal people. Why can't you heal with my washing machine? And she says, the repairman came and just shook his head. I don't know what makes this machine go. It's supposed to fall apart a long time ago. You can imagine how I prayed after. I said, Lord, may that machine go, because she gave away all the $200 she saved up for a new washing machine. But it's a sacrifice. Sacrifice. I was in Poland helping their church, but I said to the pastor, listen, I don't help the church where they don't help themselves. They don't sacrifice. I said, do you have people that sacrifice in this church? He said, well, let me tell you one example. We have a poor widow. He's 84 years old. She gets a pension, $25 a month, that's all. And she gives it all to the church. I said, she gives all to her. What does she live on? She has a little garden, and she grows vegetable and sells on the market, and that's what she lives on. Lord, teach us to sacrifice. Amen? To sacrifice. Without sacrifice is no spiritual success. Now, if you are sacrificing money for your children, you are doing well. But there is something more important than that. The sacrificing of your time for your children. You know, we forget them, but not the pen with them. I visited a young couple. They escaped from communist Romania and went to England to visit them. They had a 13-year-old boy and a 6-year-old girl, and I love children, so I began to play with that little girl. And the mother said, I'm so amazed that my little girl befriended you so quick. Her uncle was here from America bringing her very expensive gifts, and she didn't care for him. So I asked her, I said, Erica, how come you didn't care for your uncle from America bring you expensive gifts? Ah, she said, he never had time for me. You see, it's the time. I was in northern New England, a young couple there. And the parents told me, Brother Bruce, we have a 6-year-old son. And he told us, Mom, Dad, don't get me any more gifts. Spend more time with me. I wonder how many times God will tell you, spend more time with me. It seems to me sometimes we would rather give up our money than of our time. You're paying tithes of money, you are doing well, but have you ever thought about paying tithes of your time to God? You know how much time you would have to give to God every day? 2 hours, 24 minutes. Figure it out. God gives you 24 hours every day, whether you deserve it or not. And never deducts 5 minutes. If he would do that, you wouldn't be here tonight. He gives us 24 hours, and you are not willing to give back just 10% of that. Time. Sacrificing of time. There is an interesting sacrifice, but important. It is called the sacrificing up of your pride. Oh, there is so much pride in us. You don't get them, you give. Praising. If no one visits you, you go and visit someone. It will cost you something. It will cost you your pride. But you will have so many friends. Sacrificing up of your pride. Let me mention one more sacrifice. The Bible calls it the living sacrifice. The Apostle Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Do you think Isaac was moving alive? If had not been sacrificed, him, God could have taken him anyhow. One thing, what in a ministry, his wife. She was always complaining, you never had time for me, it's always the minister, and she just grumbled and complained and nagged in a nagged fight. You can imagine that of that wife. You know what she said? A man levifies. Now he's a dead one. And it's all my fault. You cannot play with the call of God. You're either going to be a living sacrifice or a dead sacrifice. Now this may not refer always to physical death, but definitely spiritual disobey, die out spiritually. Now why does God require sacrifice of us? You know why? Because he sacrificed first. God so loved that he gave his sacrifice. And he did not send gold down. He could rain gold down. It would, you know, he has millions of tons of gold up there. Somebody said, and I agree, what do I care about gold here? When I go to heaven, I step on gold. Amen. That's right. Amen. The only dust up there is gold dust. He could have done that. That would not be a sacrifice to him. He could send an angel. He has millions, at least 100 million angels up there. That would not be a sacrifice, but he had only one son. He sacrificed that one son. One dear pastor, he had 3 boys. And one day God said to him, I'm going to take one of your sons. He said, no, Lord, I'm not going to give up any of my sons. Soon afterwards, the younger son got very sick, and this pastor was struggling. Oh, God, don't take my son. God said, I gave you 3 sons. You're not willing to give me back one. I had only one son. And I sacrificed that one son up for you. Now there are some Christians who would say, well, if I would know that I get back my son, I would be willing to give him up. Now wait a minute. Who told you that God the Father got back his son? Never! When he sacrificed him forever for you and for me. You know, before Jesus came to earth, he was more like the Father. He was a spirit. But now he has a body all eternity. The Father never got him back the way he was. He offered him up for all eternity. That's how much he loved us. Can I tell you just one more thing before we close? I promise you I'm going to quit as soon as I get through. The motive of sacrifice. What should motivate our sacrifice? First of all, gratitude. You know, if somebody is sinking in the ocean and a man comes and saves him, that someone is going to be so grateful all his life to this man that saved him. You know what? We were all condemned to death, eternal death. And then somebody came and saved us from eternal death. Oh, how grateful we should be. But I believe the greatest motive for our sacrifice has to be love. There are several mothers here. Why does a mother sacrifice so much for her child or children? Why? When that child is sick, she would spend sleepless night. She would bring any sacrifice for the child. But why? What profit does she get out of it? Does a mother look for profit? No! She would even die for the child because she loves. You don't have to make the real mother to care for the child because she loves. That love's motivate. And that's what should motivate us. Real love. To sacrifice for Jesus. I'm going to close with this true illustration. True story comes from Hungary. A single
and the little girl was every day so sad. The mother did not know why. Why is she so sad always? And then one day the mother said to the child, "Child, why are you always so sad?" And she said, "Mother, since you asked me, I will tell you." She said, "I am ashamed of you." Yes, every time the parents and the teachers meet together, all my friends are beautiful mothers, but your face is so ugly, filled with scars. Mother, I'm ashamed of you. Mother, why? Mother, why? And then the mother with a very hot, heavy heart said, "Child, let me tell you what happened. When you were just a little baby, I had to raise you by myself. And one day, I had to go to get some groceries, just going for a few minutes. You were sleeping in the crib, so I didn't want to wake you. I left you there in the crib. And I was gone. The house caught fire for some reason. Those that were coming to put out the fire, they did not know you were up there in the crib, on the second floor. So when I arrived and I saw droplets in my hand, and I ran right into the flaming house, up the stairs. The flame didn't jump yet to the crib, so I lifted you out there and I covered your face. I could not cover my face because I was protecting you, and this is when I got so ugly." And when the little girl heard that, she broke down. She said, "Mom, you are the most beautiful mother in the world. You are bearing those scars on your face for me. Mom, you are the most beautiful mother. Listen to me, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be looking for the golden stick or the golden crown. I'm going to look for Jesus. Jesus bears the marks of love. He will tell you, 'You can see now how much I love you. I still have the scars on eternity for you. I can prove to you how much I love you. How great is your sacrifice for the Lord? Do you love him tonight? Do you love him tonight? Will you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh Jesus, forgive us for our indifference. Cleanness of the heart, forgive us, O Lord. For our stinginess, O Lord. We have been stingy with our money, stingy with our time. For God, oh God, forgive us, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Give us a greater love for you. Help us to realize the great sacrifice you have brought for us, oh God. I want to do my best for you, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus, I pray for everyone present here tonight. Let the Holy Spirit bring this message home to their hearts. God, oh God, may not be satisfied with what I have left them. We need to do more for Jesus. You paid the ultimate sacrifice. You gave your life. You shed your blood. There is nothing more a man can give than give his life. Greater love has no man than this. That a man would give his life for his friends. You gave your life for us, O Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord, today. We love you, Lord. I wonder if we could sing that song tonight, beautiful song.